join their office. We'll begin singing our first hymn, "Rise Up and Shine Like Glad to See It." Please rise.
Amen.
Beloved true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Continue with this intro printed in your bulletin. The heavens proclaim his righteousness,
and all the peoples see the glory.
For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth.
You are exalted far above.
The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice.
Let the many peoples be glad.
O you who love the Lord, hate evil.
He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked.
Light is sown for the righteous.
And joy for the upright in heart.
Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous.
And give thanks to his holy name.
The heavens proclaim his righteousness,
and all the people see his glory.
We continue.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The confessional reading is the Lord's Prayer, the conclusion. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. That's printed in the bulletin.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The conclusion. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What is meant by the word amen?
That I should be certain that these petitions are acceptable to our Father in heaven, and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us so greatly, and has promised to hear us. Amen. Amen. That is the day of the age, and shall be so.
Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 600 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent to Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he shall surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place, and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his aides, and came and stood before him, and said, "Indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with a gradual printed in your bulletin. Nations will fear the name of the Lord.
And all the kings of the earth will fear your glory.
For the Lord Lord builds up Zion.
He appears in his glory.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the first chapter beginning with verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some reason, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to become unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This, or here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When he had came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, the leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean. His leprosy immediately was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard this. He marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Recently, a popular Christian music singer was asked in an interview whether she felt that homosexuality was a sin. She answered, I can't honestly answer that, in the sense that I have too many people that I love, and they are homosexuals. I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. She understandably got much criticism from many Christians because the Bible is actually quite clear on whether homosexuality is a sin. Leviticus 18 states, you shall not lie with the male as with the woman. It is an abomination. In St. Paul's letter, first letter to the Christians in Corinth states, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Dear saints in Christ, while it is easy to condemn this lady for her statement, you should realize that her words reflect the attitude of many of you. Why does she question whether God is displeased with homosexuality? Clearly, there is no passage in the Bible that gives her the idea that God doesn't care or has changed his mind about it. Rather, her judgment is changed because she has so many people that she loves who are homosexuals. She is unsure about what the will of God is based upon her feelings. Based upon her feelings about people whom she loves. Isn't that a common attitude toward the will of God? What is God's will? His will is what he wants. What he wants it to say is right, and what he says is wrong. God's will certainly can't say that what my friends do is sinful. I mean, they are so nice. God certainly wouldn't disapprove of my children's behavior. God couldn't be displeased with me. I certainly don't feel that way. And this is the typical way that people think, the way church folk think. Now let's lay aside for a moment the fact that God's displeasure towards sin doesn't mean that God doesn't love the sinner. St. Paul says in Romans, But God shows his love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's important to note here is that your feelings, that your thoughts, that your experiences do not alter the will of God. God doesn't change his position on a sin because you or someone you love participates in that particular sin. And you do not determine how God feels about a situation by looking into yourself and pondering how you feel about it. How do you then determine what God's will is? The leper in the gospel reading teaches you through God's word. The leper says to Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." You see, the leper has faith in Jesus. He believes he is good. He believes he is powerful. He believes he is able to heal. But he does not know if Jesus will heal his disease. He needs to hear Jesus' words. When he hears Jesus say, "I will be clean," he then knows that Jesus desires to heal him. That is how you all are. How do you know what God's will is? Through his word. How then does God want you to treat your neighbor? Scripture says to live in harmony with them. Don't be haughty. Don't be wise in your own sight. Repay evil with good. Be kind to your enemy. You know how God wills you to live. He says it plainly in Scripture. You have the Ten Commandments. You know from Scripture that you should worship the Lord God only and gladly hear and learn his word. That you should love your neighbor as yourself. That you should refrain from sexual immorality, theft, murder, and all covetousness. This is God's law. And the law reveals God's holy will. However, Scripture also teaches the gospel. The gospel, too, is God's holy will. While the law teaches you how to live and condemns you as sinners when you fail, the gospel reveals to you how God saves you from your sin and hell through Jesus Christ, the one who died for you for your sins. It is God's will that you believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And you know this is God's will through God's word. Now, I've mentioned earlier that your feelings can get in the way of you believing God's holy word and knowing God's holy will for you. Yet, it is not the only emotion that stands in the way of you knowing God's will. You also have reason. You are intelligent creatures. God made you that way. Yet, like everything in you, your intelligence is corrupted by sin. This means that you will use your reason to argue against God's word and therefore know God's will. The perfect example of this is Naaman, the Syrian commander in today's Old Testament reading. He too was a leper. Elisha sent a message to him to wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he would be cleansed. Well, Naaman thought that was offensive. He shouldn't have thought. He just should have believed. Now, I'm sure that Naaman was right that the rivers of Syria were cleaner than the muddy river Jordan. But God said to wash in the river Jordan, as his servant said to him, "This is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" And so then Naaman submitted his great intellect to the word of God, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. You know, you all were cleansed of your leprosy too. In the waters of holy baptism, your leprosy of sin was washed away when God the Father claimed you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, Naaman's pride still affects many people today. It is common for people to doubt the power of baptism. You know, it's just plain water. Spirit baptism is much more important. Or baptism is a work of man, and only faith saves you. So baptism can't possibly save. These are the thoughts of human beings who follow the example of Naaman. Yet what does the Word of God say? Acts or Mark 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Acts 2 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. From 1 Peter, baptism doth now save you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Titus 3 says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Saints in Christ, Scripture is abundantly clear. Baptism saves you through the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. It is God's will that all people be made disciples, being baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The only reason why people question the power of baptism, because of human reason, which wrestles with the clear words of God. Now, people will struggle with God's will. When God's Word reveals something that they don't like, or when God's Word reveals something that they don't understand, yet perhaps the most exhausting struggle with God's will is where God's Word does not reveal anything. This is called the hidden will of God. While God does not tell you some things plainly, such as how you should live, that you should repent and believe in the gospel, there are other things that God does not tell you the answer to. When the leper said to Jesus, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The leper did not doubt Jesus' good will. He had faith not only that Jesus was powerful enough to heal him, but also that Jesus was good, as he heard of Jesus' many healings before. That the leper did not know if Jesus willed to heal him of this particular disease then and there. He had not yet heard Jesus say so. And this is how many of you are in your daily struggles. I do not know how long God will let me suffer from this physical ailment. I don't know if God will heal me of my cancer, or if my friend will be reconciled to me, or if I'll get a different job. And the list goes on and on. There are certain things God doesn't tell you. So what should you do then? The same as when you do know what God's will is. You should pray that God's will be done. What do you know of God's will? Well, Ezekiel 33 states, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. So you see here that God does not want to condemn sinners, whether they're homosexuals, thieves, drunkards, or swindlers. but that they turn from their wicked ways and live. God desires that sinners repent and believe in the gospel. 1 Timothy states that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, it is the will of the Lord to crush Jesus on the cross so he can lay your iniquities upon him, so that he can forgive you all your sins for his sake. God's revealed will is good. God is merciful. God is patient. God is loving. So what you know about God's will should also help you to accept what you do not know. St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Rome, we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, you don't always know what God wills for your life, but because of what you do know about God's will, you know God's plan for each of you is better than your own plan. And so through hearing and believing the word of God, you are able to pray, "Thy will be done," both for what you do know of God's will and also for what you don't know about God's will. You have learned that the word of God makes known to you the will of God. Yet the word of God does even more. When Jesus told the centurion that he would come and heal his servant, the man refused and asked rather that Jesus just say a word and his servant would be clean. The centurion was a man who was under authority. He understood how authority works. If a captain gives a command originally given by a general, that command has the authority of the general, not just a captain. The word of God carries God's authority. This means that when a prophet speaks the word of God, it is not the word of a prophet, but the word of God. So also when a pastor who is sent by God through the church speaks the word of God, it is not the word of a man, but God's own word. This means when I say to you, your sins are forgiven, I'm not just relating to you what God's will is, but God, through his word, is accomplishing what he wills. When I say, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, God is actually accomplishing his will to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. When the pastor baptizes in the name of the Holy Trinity, God, through those words, is accomplishing his will to make that child a Christian. When the gospel is preached, God's will is not only revealed to the congregation, but his will is accomplished as the hearts of many are gladdened with the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Dear saints in Christ, the word of God makes known to you God's will, that he desires you to repent of your sins and believe in the forgiveness won for you by Christ Jesus. The word of God assures you that even where you do not know what God's will is, that his will is still good. And the word of God itself accomplishes the good and gracious will of God by breaking and hindering every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh, by keeping you in the true faith until you die. For this reason, you cling to the word that makes known God's will to you. You hear it gladly, because through God's word, God's will is most certainly done. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
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 Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, you call those who are far from you into your one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church through the cleansing waters of holy baptism. Grant that all who seek healing in those blessed waters would receive your grace for body and soul. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, strengthen this congregation by the preaching of the gospel and the faithful administration of the holy sacraments. Bless those who hear the word and confirm them in your holy faith and fear all their days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, enable every Christian to learn your word and teach the faith to their family and children. Give them boldness to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those within their acquaintance and care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, you order the nations of the world to the end that everyone who might seek you. Call the rulers and authorities to receive your salvation and holy baptism with humility and to dedicate every earthly endeavor to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, look with compassion on the sick and the suffering, especially those we now name before you. Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Micah, Rachel, Deanna, Valerie, Brianna, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Vicar Mark and Jennifer, the Leslie family, and Mary, that they would receive healing and relief according to your good and gracious will. Comfort them by the sure and certain knowledge that nothing can separate them from the love you have for them in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, let it be done for us as we believe. As you have promised to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation in the communion of this altar, so let us faithfully receive the very body and blood of Christ for healing and strengthening in our body and soul. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, when your Son came, his own people did not receive him, but turned away from your salvation. Call those who have forsaken your church to turn from their dark ways. Behold your light and recline at your table with us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, do not throw us into the outer darkness of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Strengthen and preserve our faith in Christ Jesus, our only mediator, by whom we also are welcome to recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as true Israelites. When our last hour comes, welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ, baptized into his name, and therefore as sons of your kingdom by grace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
To the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and meet, good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
and love.
Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same way also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take, eat. True body of Christ, given unto death for your sins. Father, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me in that place for me. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sins. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in that place for me. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission, given for the remission of all your sins. Take, eat, the true body of Christ. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
I forgot. Drink the true blood of Christ. Drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace, serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul.
Body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting.
Amen.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we beseech thee of thy mercy that thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Christ.
Pastor Schultz, Pastor Boerhard. Something that I've learned recently that I can still be taught.
Let's hope so. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. The pastor, when they do the invocation, you should do this, right? What's that for? That's for you to remember your baptism. Are you receiving a blessing from the pastor by just doing that? No. Right? That's why I said we remember our baptism. So I'm not going to turn and do that to you. I'm going to look at the cross, and I'm going to cross myself remembering my baptism. Like they have water out there, so you can dip your finger in the water and you can remember when you were baptized. So that's why I do that. So, and also, the other thing was, you know, how it takes me a long time to chant the Lord's Prayer? You know why I do that? What are we supposed to do when we say the phrase? Think about what we just said, what was just said. So I pause so you can think about our Father who art in heaven. Our Father was the creator of the earth. We should honor him. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed keep his name holy. Right? So I pause so you have a chance to reflect on what was just said. For the blessed day of Christ. We got food afterwards. Let's say the common table prayer and return thanks. Come, Lord
Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever.